Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome, one and all, to another edition of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, whatever you want to call it. What I like to call it is your favorite esports podcast. All esports, all the time. We are coming to you live, pre-recorded this time, not live on air, obviously. The time is 9:04 on the 11th eve of July. We are in the wake of the major. We are in the steps of drama, and we're going to get to it all. But real quick, before that, I will be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. My co-pilot is Brandon. How are you today?
Pretty good. Not too bad, I guess.
Not too bad.
It's another lovely day in the esports world.
Oh, how lovely is it? We will discuss it because, of course, our last episode, episode 34, was the preview of the CSGO major. So naturally, this will be the recap of the major. We want to talk about some E-League drama going on, because there's never not drama going on in some way or fashion, especially with CSGO. So we will dive into that as well. We will always end the show off with e-news, kind of a mixture, a grab bag of news that we just don't have the time or resources to talk about fully, but we still think it warrants our attention. But without further ado, let's just get on with the episode, because we have tons of things to touch on with this CSGO major. It was the 9th CSGO major of all time. Of course, that is the ESL 1 Cologne. We had...
What did you just say?
It's Cologne. Whatever. We have... I guess, how do you want to start this? We discussed it before. We really did no prep time for being here 2 hours ago. Why? I don't want to get into it. But we were here. So I want to break down this. Let's do this way, because I don't want to do group by group by group. Let's first talk about the teams that did not make playoffs. Okay? The quote-unquote non-legend teams.
So this is brutal.
Because if you listed them off, you wouldn't know.
The next qualifier is going to play out like a major. Like, the next qualifier has some heavy hitters.
So, like, with Dota 2, with their last major, remember how Team Secret and Evil Genius didn't qualify?
Yeah, they had too many roster changes.
Yeah,
or
and they, so they didn't end up, and then, well, it was the roster changes, and then they lost. They didn't qualify for the major. They didn't make playoffs at the major, so therefore they didn't automatically get the invite, which spawned from too many roster changes, I think. And we were like, well, that's kind of sucks for those teams that actually had to earn their right to qualify to get into the qualifier, because you have these two top pro teams now there.
That are guaranteed a spot, essentially, but they just have to play through it.
Yes, exactly. And now CSGO, this next qualifier that we are approaching for CSGO, is going to be almost like a mini major to start. I mean, look at these teams already. So the teams that did not make playoffs, these are teams that didn't make it to the stadium. Okay? You have Team Dignitas and CLG, which we will touch on CLG at some point tonight, I assure you, because that just broke down earlier today. You informed me of it. CLG's basically roster is preemptively blown up.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, so that we'll discuss that. You have Ninjas in Pajamas and Optic Gaming. NIP failed to make the playoffs. That's the first time in NIP history to not make playoffs. They were eliminated by some team that we're not going to mention. Group C, you have Mousesports and Envious, did not make it out. Which, with you, now when we did our predictions, which, by the way, this is why predictions are stupid. All right, I hate, further on the record, I hate predictions. I think it's pointless filler. But everybody loves them, so we do them.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure, well, I picked Liquid. And I think Envious. But then you picked Mousesports.
Mousesports was my sleeper pick for this. To get through their group.
Right. Not to really go and win anything, but to at least make it out of groups.
Yeah. And Nico actually did an interview that they basically said that their mental game was... mentally, that team... This is from Nico, mentally that team is shot.
Which is interesting that they would choose this major to choose to be shot on, considering this was in their backyard. Like, Mouse Sports was the German team in their home country and everything. Like, this was supposed to be their Liquid in Columbus moment, right? Make it through playoffs, and oh my God, are they really going to make it to quarterfinals and everything there? And the narrative was just, it was ended really fast. So they didn't make it out. And then the Group of Death, which I want to rename the Group of Controversy, okay? Because a lot of people, for whatever reason, I didn't hear anyone complaining about the setup of this until after the tournament, and then all of a sudden everyone had an issue with it. But you had FaZe and G2 did not make it out of that group, which arguably so. I mean, that's kind of how people saw it. I know I predicted SK for not making it out of groups because I figured that they were going to be mentally distraught over the organization change.
Yeah.
Clearly, I was wrong.
That's a little wrong. That's the group that I said during our preview show. I wished we could have taken three teams out of this group because that group was so good. You know, I mean, just looking at it and knowing the setup, you know, two teams that probably deserve to be legend status are going to not have it. And it was G2 and FaZe.
Right. No, and I agree. Now, where people are having issues with this all of a sudden is saying that this should never happen. Where arguably, at the time, top three teams, SK, Fnatic, and G2, they should never be in a group together for the sake of one of them not making it. Like, it's the setup of this tournament that is really, they say, diluted the fact that G2 ended up going home and Flipside ended up making it in.
Yeah, a lot of them are saying that the seeding and such should be based on either recent performances, or there should be some kind of seeding going on, like the Swiss system is really popular right now, to actually seed the tournament from the teams that, like, a week before, so that the seeding makes more sense than using the last major's results, which is what happens right now. The groups are decided that way.
Are they really?
Yeah, so it's two legends and then two
invites. Yeah, invites. Yeah, I guess I figured that. I just never put two and two together. Okay, so either way though, I'm not a fan of that setting either. But at the same time, you play with the cards, the hand that is dealt, right?
I actually think I like it because I feel like it encourages teams to stay together longer. Like, if you know that your next tournament seeding is going to be based off your previous major performance, it makes sense to stay together. I mean, what did you say, the team that we're not going to name that is now has their players winning back-to-back?
Flipside, who for whatever reason has commitment issues, Flipside ended up knocking out Ninjas in Pajamas. Did anyone have a problem with that because of the seeding, quote unquote? No, one had an issue. So why, when it comes to Group D, we all of a sudden have an issue that G2 is eliminated? Because realistically, in my eyes, if G2 was supposed to move on, they would have won, regardless of their group. Like, so what? Right. Now we want to let groups play in weaker groups so that way the best teams can move on?
Yeah, that's what it kind of seems like. I mean, people have these,
and
like,
keep in mind,
these crushes on these teams, right?
Prior to 2 weeks before this major, G2 was known as like a subpar okay team. Like, they had their moments, but winning
ECS kind of
inflated their numbers.
Well, and beating SK to win ECS kind of definitely blew them up a little bit. But I think people appreciate the underdog aspect of, like, Flipside beating NiP more than, like, when you want to see the best Counter-Strike in the finals, yeah, you don't necessarily want, arguably, maybe the top two teams, or as of this year, two teams that have shared the number one team in the world ranking playing each other in group stage.
What if you just made it two groups rather than four?
I mean, that might work.
That would be the easiest way. And then that way, top four teams in each of these bigger groups make it through, which you would assume at that rate, the better teams are going to make it through a giant round robin style of group play.
Yeah.
That would be the only way. But in my eyes, the better team that day is going to win.
Well, and a lot of that is best of one stuff too. People Now, don't want to see a best of one eliminations.
I completely am on board that when it comes down to elimination, there should never be a best of one.
I think the whole tournament should be best of threes. Maybe a best of five is probably pushing it for the finals. But I just think about how much they're already playing.
So here's my thing. I don't care if it's best of five, best of three, best of one. I want consistency throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
I hate that you have to switch gears and thinking, all right, we have to win this. And okay, well, now it's a best of three. It's fine.
Right.
There was one tournament last year. I forget what tournament it was, but the entire thing was best of one, like all the way through.
Even the finals?
Well, I think it was a loser's bracket. So you had, maybe the finals was best of three.
Yeah.
But the whole bracket itself, I mean, it was like Madness style, which I guess in that style, it would be a best of one. But it was awesome knowing that every team was playing
for elimination.
Like they were just playing balls out for the sake of, they know this could be it. Now, again, you're going to get people saying, well, okay, but then one team's going to get CT side first on train, or
that's getting
into a whole another beef here that I have. Why don't we talk about it right now, since we're kind of just shooting from the hip with this recap, and we've talked about before, they need to find a way to mix up the map selection. I'm tired of seeing train and cobblestone, because the way they do the map vetoes and the random map pick, it's the same maps every time.
Well, and some of that though, some of that is the teams trying to pick to their strengths.
Yeah.
Like you saw teams like who was it that picked Nuke against SK Gaming? I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was VP. Anyway, teams are picking maps that they think they have the best chance to win on. And when you've got teams that play the same maps over and over and over and over and over again, like there's no team that has an exceptionally deep map pool.
No.
And three maps tops for most teams are like what you're comfortable with.
Can I throw a crazy suggestion out there? The fact that these are supposed to be the top players in CSGO, we are talking these are the cream of the crop players. Would it be a crazy idea just to do all random map selection?
That would be really entertaining.
I like that idea. I know some people are saying you never leave the professional, like randomness shouldn't be involved at all. Like there are people
RNG, right?
Yeah. There are people who complain about the one random map pick.
Yeah.
Saying that no, it should be all based off of whoever is the higher seed can just pick two maps. My theory though is, look, if you're the best teams, you better come ready for any scenario.
Right.
So what's wrong with just three random maps? That way, it would be crazy to see a Dust 2 or, a Nuke that when people aren't expecting it. But when Dust 2 is banned almost every time, Mirage banned a lot.
I feel like Dust 2 is banned because they all play DM servers and nobody enjoys Dust 2 anymore.
I feel like Dust 2, and it's also, these guys have been playing on Dust 2 for years.
Like 15 years.
There is no hidden secret anymore. I mean, you're going to have those teams that dominate.
So there's seven maps to pick from, right?
Right.
42 maps played throughout the tournament. Over half of those plays were on cobblestone or train. Half of the maps were cobblestone or train.
Which, I think two majors ago, I would have been really excited for that.
I remember, was it Cluj that Cobble got picked on the randomizer like four or five times in a row?
Yes, and at the time, everyone was super excited. And now it's just like, okay, well, here's Cobble. Again, I guess maybe I can get a Dragon Lore drop. That's the only upside to it. And I don't have a favorite map in the sense of what I like to watch, but I like a variety.
Right.
I like Counter-Strike for all the maps because there's really not a bad map when it comes to that competitive pool. So I would love to see the pros just having to answer the call of, hey, get ready because it could be any map and you need to prove it on, whatever. And then let the higher seed pick what side they want to start on for two of the maps or first.
I wonder if
you
could do some kind of home turf advantage.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In a best of three, I guess they already do that.
That would
the
be
teams
the higher,
get to pick their maps.
Right. That would be the higher seeds gets the advantage of picking sides.
Yeah.
Or picking the order of the maps.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would be neat. just to have random maps picked, and then you get to pick out of the three maps, top seed gets to pick the order or the first map out of those, something like that. My point is I'm tired of seeing Cobble and Train all the time. It gets boring after a while. The other thing that people have been complaining about with this major is the quote-unquote observers. I touched on this in pregame show, so I want to just, while I'm on my soapbox, give me this time. So in esports, right, we're already such a niche thing. It's already hard for people outside of playing these games to get into it. Like, if you don't play Counter-Strike, it's hard to follow what's going on. Or, God forbid, if you try to watch Dota or League of Legends.
Right.
So that's the first thing there. So it's already a hard thing to get into and be interested in. Well, why are we making names up for things that already have names made up for them? Like observers. Why aren't they just called camera guys? Why aren't casters called play-by-play guys? Why are we creating this wall of distance between common language?
I don't know if I agree. Because I feel like the observer is a very specific job. One that doesn't necessarily apply to cameramen outside of the game. Like, I would never, like, the guy that's, like, controlling the camera that shows the crowd, I would never go up to him and call him a crowd observer. Maybe that's just because I learned the term in Counter-Strike, it's an observer.
Possibly, but to me, it's all camera guy.
Yeah.
You're just operating a different camera. He's operating the in-game camera, you're operating a crowd camera.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. My point is, though,
make it easier to watch.
Don't call them observers, listeners of the show. Do it for me.
You're going to tick Alchemist off of that one,
their
I think.
Camera. You know what?
He might not listen anymore.
I think I could fight Alchemist. Right? We all can't have our names tagged to be certified on the subreddit. So, He's got me there. All right. So moving on, though, to the actual major again, since we kind of ran off course. We talked about the Group of Death. I mean, what can you say? SK, they're an organization that for years have struggled. Their roster has been just handpicked. The lifelong Brazilian SK fans really deserved this one, I felt like. AKA, I refuse to say SK has won two in a row, by the way. I've heard some people say that, and I want to fight them.
I think I said that once, and you're like, I'm not, no, I don't, I was like, the players that currently play under the SK banner have won two majors.
The roster has won two in a row.
Yeah.
SK has won one, all right?
They've won $2 million this year already.
And do I want to disqualify them for any type of triple crown contest? Like, if they just go on to win every major this year, do we disqualify them? Like, what's the official ruling on, like, the Kentucky Derby, you know, triple crown? The horse racing triple crown?
Official rule as far as what?
Like, is it the horse or the jockey that does the triple crown? If the jockey switches
horse...
I don't
know. You never thought about that.
Is that still a triple crown?
I think
crown?
It's the horse.
That's what I think so too. I don't think it matters, the jockey. I think it's the horse.
I think it is the horse.
So who's the horse in this situation? My point is...
Well, the horse is doing all the work, right?
My point is, when I see Brazilian fans from, like, the crowd shots, and you have these Brazilian fans decked out in SK gear just acting like they've been, like, waiting for this moment for SK to be good all of a sudden, I want to punch my monitor. I pray that there was more team loyalty in esports.
Well, you're starting to get into the differences between the players and the organizations that we're going to go into a little bit later with that E-League drama. But I will tell you this.
Okay, so package that.
SK Gaming, as a team, was largely irrelevant up until the LG roster moved. Especially as far as majors and stuff go.
Yes, they were
so
hugely irrelevant.
Every single one of those people in the SK jerseys bought them that day at the major.
Definitely.
Right there.
Definitely.
Fans for life.
Anyone in the old
SK jerseys. SK fans for life.
It's ridiculous. We could talk about it later, like you said. I just wish, like me, I bleed Cloud9. I will always be more of a fan of Cloud9 than any other team, no matter who's on them. It's not like Freakazoid left. And I was like, whoa. I'm out.
Well, I mean, that's because it was
Freak left. But... I mean, come on. And then, moving on, I do want to talk about it. You had Flipside Tactics taking out NiP. First time ever that NiP is not making the playoffs. right?
So sad.
So sad for NIP fans. Optic Gaming, which in the preview show, we were talking that, hey, these guys could be pretty good. And they were not. They didn't even win a game. So
not only that, they got eliminated by Flipside.
Yeah, so was the hype just an illusion?
And they did an interview later after the tournament and said that NA Counter-Strike is only getting better and we're going to have to do a lot more work to stay on top. And I'm like, you haven't been on top yet.
No. I don't
even recall what pushed them to the top before we did the preview show.
They qualified for the major. Somehow Cloud9 didn't qualify and they did and instantly jumped into the discussion of, is Optic Gaming the next hope and dream for NA Counter-Strike? That is literally the narrative of Optic Gaming Counter-Strike is, are they the new hope?
Yeah.
And that just started from that. You had Na'Vi, who, an okay performance. They lost to Liquid in the quarterfinals, which, look, Liquid was on a mission, and nobody but SK in the finals was going to stop Liquid.
Speaking of NA Hope and Dreams, talking about Optic, the NA Hope and Dream left, and he's going back to the Ukraine. It was the one person that wasn't from NA on that Team Liquid roster.
So, Team Liquid, again, for the second major in a row, I'm watching with this weird feeling inside that this is not the Team Liquid of the future. Like, I had some tweets and everything from people saying, like, man, this is awesome what Liquid is doing. And I just thought, and yet it's sad, knowing that after tomorrow, this is done.
I've seen responses of people saying that Liquid should try their hardest to get Simple back. And I'm like,
they've done that before, though. You've danced that dance.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to fall back in love with that same girl? And yet she just keeps playing you.
Yeah. And being fickle does nothing but hurt.
And you know what?
The team, so.
Before anyone paints any pictures or draws any connections, Liquid is the girl in that scenario. Like, Liquid is the girl that is trying to woo Simple over, and then Simple's like, okay, I'll come, we can boot camp, and then he comes back over to the States, and you don't boot camp. The in-betweens are very dull, and there's going to be some drama.
Yeah.
It's all fine and stuff when they're, in Europe for the month that they were prior leading up to the major, but that's not always going to be the case.
Actually, the most surprising thing to me from Team Liquid's performance was, and I talked about this on the previous show, that JDM was always really consistent and he came from a consistent team. Like, CLG was pretty consistent, not necessarily great, but consistent. And like, when they got to the finals against SK, he was the most inconsistent player on the roster. So many Simple shots that you would think, intended, so many shots you would think he should make, and he just couldn't, he just wouldn't do it.
No, so we were watching the finals and made that observation that JDM, if he would hit his first shot, or let alone if he hit his second shot with his op, the matches on Train would have gone a lot different.
Yeah, Train especially, he missed like three or four very important shots.
I felt like Liquid, they couldn't get a rhythm going. Like, to me, in my opinion, when you're playing a team that is obviously better than you, like SK is to Liquid, yeah, you both made the finals, but SK is better than Liquid. You really have to go one or two ways. Either you try the YOLO rush and just catch them off guard, which works once or twice.
It was working really well on Mirage and MLG until Cold Zero tilted them.
Exactly. Or you slow the game down.
Right.
And I don't mean slow the game down in the sense of let SK get set up and get everything. But I mean, play for picks. Get that one kill on A site and then don't rush it. Just slow it down. Throw your smokes. Throw your mollies. And slow it down. You don't want to let them control the pace of the game.
Yeah, and Zeus was doing an interview that we listened to before the show talking about how Liquid is a big momentum team, and you can tell they ride kind of, well, they'll win a bunch of rounds in a row, and then kind of struggle on an eco and then have to try to regain momentum. And it's like they when they switched over and started playing SKs or playing SK, they tried to play more of and you could tell they were trying to slow down and play more of a pick game, like where they would have, you know, one or two guys push into a site together. But as soon as one would die, like SK would get a pick on them, and then the entire team would completely overreact to what was happening, and it was just chaos. And SK would just sit there and pick them off one by one. And I think I told you while we were watching, even the rounds that Liquid won, they were really close, but there were several rounds that SK won where they just walked all over Liquid.
They were expensive wins. Liquid had expensive wins. Where when we say that, like you said, they maybe had one guy alive.
Yep.
Where SK would win, they would have four guys plus their op still alive. The other thing that I noticed with Liquid, and I was yelling at them for it, and I guess they didn't hear me because they didn't change. They wouldn't peek together. Like, you have to, for the sake of your economy, get the trades. Right. Like, there is no excuse that you have an opper watching, you know, B site on train, and he has an angle on, you know, ramp, and then an angle on bomb site. Liquid has a guy on bomb site and a guy in ramp. Why they peek separately, I will never understand, but Liquid was doing it all finals.
Right.
Like, one would peek, get shot, and then the second guy would come around, already giving, you know, Fallen or whoever is opping on SK, because all of them can apparently do it, except for Taco. He'll straight up ignore the op on the ground. But they let them have so much time to get reestablished, where it's like, dude, this is SK we're talking about. You cannot let them control the pace of the game.
SK was definitely in Liquid's heads. I mean, I read a stat earlier today, thank you Reddit, that said no version of Liquid has defeated this roster of SK on any map. They have never taken a map against this roster.
And that's they came from an MLG. They got to 15 on both. So, you know.
Yeah.
Do you want to look at this with a half glass full? Well, you're the Liquid fans. How do you take this?
I think at least they didn't choke, because to choke you would have had to have been in it at some point.
Right. Well, okay.
MLG was a huge choke.
But let's give credit where credit's due. Like, I get that some people are saying, haha, typical NA Counter-Strike. They made the finals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There was no EU team in this finals.
Right.
That's something to be said.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it was an accomplishment, but I wouldn't call it a choke like at MLG when they lost.
No,
the
MLG Columbus was the definition of a choke. Like,
twice.
Utter proportion.
Yeah.
I can't believe when we went to the bar afterwards, we saw them there. Because if I did that, no. I would be on a plane home just being salty. Okay. But Liquid making it to the finals, there's no way that that's not a huge, huge step forward for them. I don't want to say, people are like, oh, this is huge for North American Counter-Strike. Why? Because one team made it? What about the other North American teams that didn't do anything?
About most of the NA teams that didn't do anything.
You had Optic, didn't get a win. CLG, didn't get a win. Cloud9, didn't even qualify. Like, you had a lot of what's supposed to be top NA talent, didn't do anything. So let's pump the brakes before we say this is, you know, the Americans are coming. This is not. This is Team Liquid with Simple.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to... This was a nice story. It was really fun to watch, but just like MLG Columbus, take it all, write it on a piece of paper, crumble it up, and throw it away. Unless they decide to somehow tell Pimp that, hey, buddy.
By the way.
Hey, buddy. Sorry about that.
If that happens, I would be utterly surprised if any pro wants to sign with Liquid after that.
Well, we'll have to see what...
Like, why would you ever want to sign a contract with a team that is, like, at least 50% chance to make you a certified streamer?
We know who runs... We know the captain of that ship, though.
Yeah, like it's obvious.
It is very obvious to me that Hiko is the one calling that shots. If Hiko wants Simple back and Simple wants to come back, that's going to happen.
Hiko's interviews during the major, there was some big man love going on between him and Simple.
No, and I don't deny their friendship at all.
Yeah.
But just because you're best friends doesn't mean you're going to be good teammates.
I don't know. I think he likes Simple a lot as a person too, right?
I think Simple wanted
to leave because he didn't.
I would like you too if you took me to the quarterfinals and finals both times you played with me.
I mean, that's true.
So they only have good memories except for the fact that Simple wanted to leave because that just wasn't what he was expecting living here.
Right.
Now, if you made it to the quarterfinals and finals of a major, would you entertain the idea of just moving to Europe?
I probably would not. I don't think Hiko would either. I don't think Team Liquid would.
I don't think so they would either, but I mean, this is your time to have Simple.
You know what I think
more tournaments are over there.
You know what I think would be the easiest thing to do is to give Simple the things that he was promised when he signed the contract.
Yeah, it's probably easier just to move them all into the same state, let alone moving them to Europe. So
yeah,
you're probably right on that. The person, though, we haven't even talked about the real surprise to me. Because with Simple, we said that was a wild card. Like, that was easily, we could see that moving on. But in Group C, you had Virtus Pro taking the group. This was a team that I predicted to not even make legend status, which, shame on me, all right? Shame on me for once again doubting the Virtus Plow Train. Like, because...
And they're also the only team to take a map off of SK the entire tournament. Second major in a row that they are the only team to take a map against SK or previously LG. Second major in a row.
I can't, but like, I always do it, and I always tell myself, oh, this is the one where Virtus Pro gets knocked down to earth. But no, you don't bet against Virtus Pro on LAN, and you definitely don't bet against them in a major. Because when they want to win, they'll get to where it counts.
Right.
I mean, they did make it to the semifinals, like you said, the only team to beat SK on a map the whole way through, which realistically, I think they could have done it. Because what was the... I have it here. Mirage was the third map, 16 to 12.
Yep.
They
went to OT on Cobblestone, right. Won that in overtime. They did get kind of wrecked on Nuke. Like I said, VP was the one that picked it against SK.
And SK, though, started out in CT. So take those, take the Nuke score lines with a grain of salt.
They won 12 rounds as CT. So, I mean, they picked it because it was a wild card and it was a known deficiency of SK, as in SK didn't have any amazing strats built out for it yet.
Right.
But obviously that wild card pick kind of backfired.
Yeah.
And I mean, they took Cobblestone to overtime and that was SK's pick. So you would think if they would have picked a stronger map for the second map, but I think they were honestly, they played themselves by trying to play against SK's pick on that.
Which goes to our always rule of thumb is just play your strength.
Well, yeah, but play to your strength.
Yeah. Don't try to pick their weakness and think you're going to do better. Because I think when you play against their weakness, chances are the better team's going to win that one, regardless.
Yeah.
Like, unless it is your strength. And then you had in Group A, I just want to touch on this real quick, because just like in our preview show, Group A was the least interesting team before the major, and guess what? They were the least interesting team during the major. Gambit Gaming ended up taking that group, which I don't think we were too surprised. I think we said that.
I think we called Astralis and Gambit coming out of there. But I mean, they're the only they had a plus 13 round differential.
Look, Gambit.
Won that group in dominating fashion.
Gambit is a team that needs to not, like, they need to stay their course. I have high hopes for them. Astralis, on the other hand, I don't want to judge their performance on this one. They were down two guys because. Obviously, they couldn't play with Kirby being the roster moves and everything, so they had Glaive. And then what was it? July 7th. So what was that, like mid-group stage?
Yeah, Dupree ended up getting appendicitis,
which you cannot play through stomach pain. So
had to get surgery.
So Zonic ended up, their coach ended up filling through them. So they had two stand-ins.
Yeah, I was reading an interview with Zonic, and he was like, yeah, we decided like 4 hours before we had to be up and at the arena that I was going to start playing.
Oh, boy.
And then he was like, and at that point, in-game leading is completely shot, right?
Right. You're
like, nobody really knows what's going on when you have two stand-ins.
It's basically a pug match.
Yeah, so he's like, he said, Device, I think it was Device he was talking about. He was like, yeah, we just told Device to just do whatever he wants as long as he's communicating about it. I mean, they were literally pugging.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they maintain legend status is impressive.
Yeah, they maintain their legend status, much to the help, though, of Team Dignitas, which, by the way, lost to the two stand-in Astralis, okay? And then CLG ended up not taking a game at all in that group. CLG, though, recently announced today that basically after E-League, that roster is done. Tarek officially announced that he is done after E-League. And then who else did you say ended up announcing it?
PETA, who was originally coach and then moved to be playing and then in-game leading, and now they were like, he is no longer going to be doing anything with the team.
So he's just done.
Yeah, he's done. So now you have Hazed. You have Kusta, who, poor Kusta, has gone from selfless, thought he had his payday on Liquid.
He hit gold going to
Liquid. Thought he had his payday on Liquid. Gets traded because JDM wants out, and Liquid obviously knows JDM's a better... a more consistent player than Kusta. Yeah.
Capitalize on opportunities.
And then now the roster of CLG, which wasn't terrible, has now just been shot to hell, just completely blown up.
And now they're back to CLG status, where it's just like, I guess I'll watch them. They're from North America.
I don't know. I even feel like JDM leaving, they lost like their kind of funny meme appeal because JDM had the headband on.
Well, they also lost their opera. Like, yeah. JDM was easily the best guy on that roster, so when he left, I could see why they're all very questioning. I don't know, though, with this, it brings up, though, I mean, whenever, like, these top players, right? We have now top players from NA in Tarek.
Yep.
Is basically going to be a free agent, which brings the questions of teams like Cloud9. Do they take this opportunity to test the waters in free agency? My theory is no. My thing with Cloud9 is I feel like there's too many bookends on that team. Like Shroud and Nothing, and then Skadoodle. I feel like you're just not going to ever see them leave. So who do they replace?
I mean,
do they replace Stewie2K?
Everybody on the street is saying to replace Shroud with Tarek. Now, it's important to note that Tarek is not like quitting the team. He's quote unquote taking a break and being listed as a streamer for CLG. So he's still under contract.
That's why though. He's under contract.
Yeah, so they're just waiting for somebody to offer a buyout for it. But yeah, a lot of people are saying that he should replace Shroud. And they cite a lot of stuff like Tarek and Stewie are playing a lot on I don't know, FPL or S League or whatever pug crap they play these days to make side cash, and they said they play well together, so they're all, everyone's saying get Tarek on the Cloud9.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would not be opposed to it.
I mean Tarek was an in-game leader, right? Why not kind of replace maybe Slimmy?
He's too new though. I hate making those roster moves just because a better skilled player.
A Team Liquid roster
move?
Yes,
I hate roster moves that you have to kick off a guy because he joined at a bad time. Like, sorry, bro. Wrong place, wrong time.
I know you just signed this contract, but something better came along.
Yeah, right. Like, whoa, we can't do this now. So I just hate that as a emotional morality decision. I hate it. But again, we mentioned that none of this is happening until after E-League. Reason being, because we have come to find out E-League has some rules about roster changes, which they will enforce on you. So recently, E-League has announced in what some call a very vague statement, but and this is in both the cases, Luminosity and SK Gaming are no longer part of E-League. Season one. As far as the roster and organizations are concerned, they are all three elements completely out of the league due to them breaking and violating some of the rules as far as roster changes go. Now, as far as what exactly that rule is, I don't think anyone... I mean, do you have the official word? They never came out.
They never officially said which rule it was that they were talking about. A lot of people did a lot of digging, and the most applicable rule they could find was a rule under roster moves. I think it was rule like 14 or something under the roster moves that said rosters can only have two sub players that are signed. Basically, when the team signed, when you signed your full roster, you were to list two sub players, and you can have those two players play, and that's it. So the reason why both teams got disqualified was essentially they had five full roster moves. Both teams did.
Right.
Well, so as I say both teams. SK did. SK lost her spot because LG moved over. LG doesn't even have a team at the moment. And then Team X, which is what the old SK team became, essentially didn't have a spot because they're no longer with an org. And that's why everybody kind of got the idea that the contracts that E-League signed, they signed with the organizations.
Which I have no problem understanding that. And some people are having a major issue wrapping their brain around this concept. And Fallen does what I feel Fallen does. And he kind of throws gasoline onto the fire.
Yeah.
I think he indirectly tries to start witch hunts.
Indirectly tries to start it. I think he legitimately uses his reputation as like this feel good story.
Like the woe is me of people keeping me down.
Yeah. I think he uses that as leverage to get what he wants.
And because, do you have his tweet in front of you? I can roughly quote him where Fallen tweeted out, this was during the major Cologne. All right. So this was like mid major. He tweeted out something along the lines of, you know, a sad time for CSGO, professional CSGO. We are no longer a part of E-League. Can't believe this is happening for being professional progression. Something along those lines. Basically saying a woe is me card. And the way I see it, then he later goes and tags onto that tweet saying, oh, and by the way, the players never even saw the contract. It was the organizations were the one with the contracts. E-League never even showed us the contracts. And to me, I read it in a tone of like, how dare they? Like how they didn't even bother giving us the players the choice.
He's been tweeting so much, I can't find it right now. Yeah.
Okay. But that's it. That's the gist.
Gist of it, yeah.
So my thing with this is, again, it's such a witch hunt. It's such a, hey, everybody blow up E-League. He went as far as to making a petition for people to sign to make him play, which when, give me one example, has an online petition ever convinced anybody to do anything? Nothing. That was never going to work. And now you have this thing where people all of a sudden hate E-League now because they're the big bad company that forced these players and organizations out. Well, if you're asking me, it makes perfect sense. The organizations were the ones invited.
Right.
Now, they were invited from a sub-level of, you know, the only reason you were invited is because of your roster and their performance. I get that. But like Fallen said, he tried using the fact that only the organization signed the contracts as like a defense of, hey, this is messed up. But to me, that just solidifies why they were not involved in, hey, you guys can stay, but your organizations have to go.
I'm with you. Once again, this is the same thing I was talking about with the major. For me, this means that teams are going to try and stay with the same organization and stay together longer than they have in the past.
Which is a good thing.
I think it's a great thing. You might see teams holding it as leverage, organizations holding it as leverage over players, which would, you know, that's...
Not ideal, but
my whole thing is, and I've said this before, it's very clear to me that a lot of these players don't understand the world that they're in it anymore. Like that the contracts they're signing actually have mean ramifications.
Something. Well, and look at the teams that are most likely sticking around longer than what they probably should. CLG, right? That they've already announced after this. You have teams like Envious, who I will be surprised if after their performance of the major
stay together
after E-League.
Yeah.
So you're already seeing the trend of teams sticking together. But I mean, this,
the E-League thing does have a benefit that it kind of motivates teams to take time in finding new players too. So like if Envious decides to drop somebody, they have two stand-ins that they can use to bridge the gap between when that person leaves and finding somebody else for season two.
And the players are still getting paid.
Right. Right.
They're still on contract.
So it adds stability to the whole thing. The issue that, and especially with this case, is that Fallen and his group of teammates had that entire contract controversy where they signed two contracts.
Right. And that's one of my things is...
Like this whole thing started because like, they signed two contracts.
Don't act like you're just such this innocent victim here.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you signed with SK while under a letter of intent with LG. Like, I have a very hard time just feeling sorry for you.
Right. And I'm saying, like, they very well could have wanted to sign with SK Gaming, right? And they could have at the end of the season. They could have said this contract doesn't take effect until the end of E-League season.
Giving both teams plenty of time.
Right.
To adjust to what's going to happen.
So, and that's why I have a hard time having any kind of sympathy for the situation. And the thing that drives me exceptionally crazy is when you now have teams like CLG that have announced that their roster is going to change, but they announced it and they did say that this is going to happen after E-League is over. Like, oh, it's funny. Like, oh, so they can keep playing in E-League because they're going to have the same roster.
And yet you still have people complaining like, oh, so now they can keep playing now?
Yeah.
Oh, so LG gets kicked out, and if you ask me, the only unfair thing about all of that LG SK getting kicked out is LG getting kicked out. Because yeah, LG signed the contract with E-League, basically what I feel is that they were under the impression that they were going to get the publicity.
Right.
Right? Hey, wow, okay, national TV? Absolutely. Yeah, sure, we'll do that. And now their players went and signed underneath the table without them knowing. And now LG is getting the shaft by not being in the league.
Yeah, LG is definitely, if you had to pick a victim out of all of it.
LG is the one that you should be upset for.
Literally the only thing they got out of this was they agreed to a buyout from those letters of intent, even though I think they originally had rights to the team.
Right, but Fallen sitting here trying to play the victim, like, how about you go talk to your owner, SK, who said, hey, sign with us, I'll take care of everything. Well, clearly not. Clearly, yeah. He did not read some form of fine print that he should have. So I don't get that. And now you have Cloud9 is taking first place. They're taking LG's spot in groups. Rightfully so. I mean, come on. We all knew that was probably where they should have been the whole time.
Hold on. Next level NA strats. We didn't even get into the petition.
Hey, man. If us Americans are anything good on, it's technicalities. We'll definitely take credit where it's not due. And in doing so, you have Renegades moving up. Okay, and you want to talk about
Cloud9's
a team
spot.
Into a team that Renegades now doesn't have Sponge. So I don't know. Renegades is such an irrelevant team to me. And then you have
Gambit,
who is taking somebody's spot throughout all this mess. So, which is rightfully so. I think from their performance recently, they definitely deserve a spot again with E-League. Overall, though, I think, you know, it's... I tried comparing it in layman's terms to people, because I actually had some people asking me about this who don't follow esports. And I made the comparison of, like, it's like the Dallas Cowboys making the Super Bowl, or anything, selling their roster to Detroit, and then all of a sudden, people thinking Detroit should be in the Super Bowl. Like, that's essentially what that is turning into. And who in their right mind would think that's possible? It's not.
It's the only way the Lions are making the playoffs.
I think we've been in the playoffs just as much as the Cowboys.
That's probably true, actually.
So, as recent history, anyway.
Yeah.
So, and that's the comparison. So, why people are getting, I mean, the fact that you have to sit here and try to explain to them why the SK roster, does it suck? Yeah, of course it sucks. I'm not saying it doesn't suck that they can't be in E-League anymore because of this rule, but don't sit here and try to play the victim and woe is me while calling out E-League on this.
Right.
No, woe is you that you didn't read the contract. Yeah, sure, you weren't the one who signed it. That doesn't mean you were kept from it. How about the organization that signed you, who signed that contract?
Yeah.
It's a contract for a reason.
Well, it's not like the rules were like hidden and no, they're very publicly available.
And this is where people are like, oh, this is why we need a player union. That's not going to help. This had nothing to do with the players.
Yeah.
It had everything to do with the organizations. If anything, I applaud E-League for sticking to their guns and not letting them do this. Because the last thing as an organization I think needs is the players guilting them into their rules. The last thing you need is a petition controlling the way your league is ran.
Right. No, I totally agree with that.
Same thing with the players getting banned for life. It sucks, but the last thing you can do is having 1,000 kids on the internet cry about it, and then you going, well, okay, if it's what the public wants. Like, sorry, no, that's not how things are ran. That's not a realistic way to run a league that you want to be professional about. And now everyone knows, for future cases, use this as an example. They're not messing around with their rules. They're there for a reason. Anything else you have on that? I felt like I went on a rant, but it's because it was building up all week. Like, when you sent me Fallen's tweet, I was like, oh my God. Like, come on, dude. Seriously. Just go win your major and be happy.
You want to go ahead and jump into E-News?
Yeah, let's jump into E-News. I have a few handful of things. One thing is EVO 2016 is starting this weekend, July 5th, 15th through the 17th. One thing everybody knows, it's this EVO 16 is going to be huge. It's breaking records for...
It's been setting attendance records for months.
Yes, and they tweeted out today. I'm going to assume from the tweet that I saw 10 hours ago that it's completely sold out. They said that they literally have 11 tickets left. And that was at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So almost 12 hours ago, I'm going to assume those 11 tickets were sold.
Probably
so
very
not
quickly,
only
yeah.
is this thing like at capacity for people competing, it is now at capacity for spectating. And it's going to be on ESPN2 at some point. I think the Street Fighter at some point is going to be on ESPN2.
Really?
Yeah. So look that up.
Huh.
That's all I got for that one. What else? What do you have? We'll jump back.
We just leapfrogged, but more E-League nonsense. RPK was diagnosed with a perforated eardrum and will not be finishing out E-League.
Sounds so painful. Anything
is perforated.
Perforated in general sounds very painful.
In an interesting situation, one of the roster or the subs listed for G2 on E-League, because they did it properly and listed their subs and will have one of the people on that list standing in for them. His name is spelled Fuks. It is pronounced like the word Duke. Like, it's Fuchs. I am so ready to hear this on national television just a couple times because I know somebody's going to mess it up.
Tiptoeing around that one.
Someone's going to mess that one up. Anyway, awesome. He'll be standing in for G2 for the rest of E-League, I believe.
Awesome. Speaking of G2, then, we're sticking here. Topical. G2 organization signed West Balls for their Super Smash Brothers Melee division. So that's another one. You had Echo Fox signing Mewtwo King.
Yep.
Cloud9 has got Mango, which that's been around forever. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Liquid and HBox. That's been around forever.
Which, by the way, shout out to Team Liquid Store. That t-shirt is really cool. HungryBox t-shirt is really cool.
They say slim body fit, which worries me. This ain't a slim body. But that's another, my point is, that's another big organization breaking into Super Smash Brothers, which for a game that's been around forever, it's pretty impressive that these big organizations are still interested in like seeing that, no, this is a reputable sponsorship.
Right.
You're not having like COG Gaming anymore, or these smaller ones sponsor these guys. You're getting
bigger
organizations in there. And then my last thing for e-news here is you have TSM dropped their Call of Duty team, citing reasons, just the game was not a good fit for the organization. Ouch.
I didn't even know how to interpret that.
No, there are so many underlining tones that could be taken.
Yeah.
Like, was that just your team sucked and that's why it wasn't a good fit? Like, did you suck at Call of Duty, or was it you not getting along with Activision Blizzard? Like, what does that mean? The game wasn't a good fit for the organization.
Yeah, that's...
Like, you're against overrated shooters? I don't understand.
Last thing I've got, three more teams were announced for the iBuyPower Summer Invitational, the Tier 2 tournament with a whopping $16,000 prize pool. Seems like peanuts these days, doesn't it? $16,000?
For an entire prize pool, yes.
Yeah, so anyway, TSM Complexity and Winter Fox were announced.
And that is why it's a $16,000 prize pool.
And they'll be joining C9... Selfless Optic and Tier 2 NA Hopes and Dream Echo Fox.
See, so that makes sense. Why the?
Yeah.
You can't overpay just because it's a CSGO. Don't overpay.
Yeah.
Don't overpay the
market. The market dictates the rates.
Yes, exactly. This is not a, what's it called? Like a competitive pay. Like, well, the major got $1 million. Yeah, well, go qualify for the major.
This isn't a major.
Go qualify for the major. Well, excellent. Excellent stuff for e-news there, my friend. An excellent show. Congratulations on show 35.
It pulled that one out of the jaws of defeat.
Yep, it would, you know, that's what happens. Sometimes things don't go as planned in pre-show meetings. You know, get commitments from people, and the commitments fall through. Such is life. Life lessons, right? Sometimes in Pokemon Go, you think you're going to catch a Pokemon, and you don't, and it runs away, and... Next thing you know, you don't have any Pokeballs left. It's life. It's what happens. Anyways, that's for me to cry into my pillow later tonight about. Thank you so much for listening to episode 35 of the Center Ring TCR for short. I hope you loved the episode just as much as I did. You can follow us on the social media at the Center Ring on Twitter. I am at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at Brand Any New.
Brand Any New, yeah.
Brand Any New. So go ahead, follow him, follow the show for all show updates. Other than that, that's really all I have. Episode 36 will be next week. We will touch on post-Evo. Okay, we'll talk about some post-Evo action. We will talk about E-League because that picks up. The playoffs pick up this week, so we'll definitely touch on that. Maybe some Dota 2? Maybe? We'll see. Episode 36 is coming to you next week. Until then, 35 is done. Thank you so much for listening. TCR.gg is a site. Go ahead and check it out.